Science, friend or foe of the environmentalist? British researcher Rupert Sheldrake.
Well, science is certainly part of the problem as far as the ecological crisis is concerned. It's part of the ideology of science, technology, economic development, and it's responsible for many of the problems we find ourselves in. On the other hand, it's also science that's made us aware of the interconnectedness of everything on the planet. Spiritual traditions have been talking about this for millennia, but science has actually got quantitative data that actually shows us completely conclusively, in my opinion, that what we're doing affects the climate of the planet. What happens in one place affects things everywhere else. So the Gaia hypothesis, which is a modern version of the idea that we live on Mother Earth, that the Earth is a living being, is something that can reconnect us with this sense of being part of the Earth. Also, science is something that can tell us about our own actions and the consequences they have. And we need science and we need quantitative methods if we're going to behave rationally in the face of these problems.
And what sort of things do you think science is showing us at the moment that we can take action upon?
The principal problem that we're all responsible for is global warming, and that's because of carbon dioxide emissions. And carbon dioxide emissions are getting worse, and we each have our own carbon footprint. There are now websites where you can calculate your own carbon footprint. For example, there's a BP one. You know, it's a petroleum company, but they're actually providing a service, and quite a good one, where you can put in your data, how you heat your home, how many people live there, how many miles a year you travel by car, by train, by bus, and by air. And on the basis of these things, it calculates your carbon footprint. Well, I did mine on one of these sites. It came out at 9 tons a year. And the average for Britain is 9.85, so I was slightly under the average for Britain. I'm fairly aware of these problems. You know, we have energy-saving light bulbs, I recycle most of our things. So I was surprised it was so high. Then I realised where most of it was coming from. 6 of those 9 tons came from air travel. That was 4 long-haul return flights per year and 2 short-haul ones. It's fairly modest by some people's standards. But nevertheless, this is making a huge amount of impact. I hadn't realised till I did this how much effect that was having. One trip to New York and back to London is equivalent to 10 months of carbon emissions from just staying at home in London, from heating and lighting and so forth. So even if I put in more energy-saving bulbs, you know, that would be only equivalent to a few miles of a journey to New York. So the best thing all of us can do to reduce our imprint is to just stop travelling by air, or at least to reduce it. I mean, for most people I know, I think this is the thing that's contributing most. And I had no idea that air travel was such a major component, 2/3 of my carbon imprint, even though I don't travel that much.
At the moment, we're looking at solutions like either, say, reducing our air travel or using carbon offsets, for example, planting trees and things. Do you think science is likely to come up with another solution for us so that we can still travel by air, but it won't be so environmentally damaging?
Oh, I think air travel is always going to be environmentally damaging. There's no way you can do that by anything except fossil fuels. And it injects fossil fuels right up high in the atmosphere. That's the worst thing. And one of the worst things about air travel is that it's the most damaging thing that each of us individually does. And yet, instead of being penalised or shamed for doing it, we're rewarded. Frequent flyer programmes reward people for flying more and more. And if you fly 100,000 miles a year, you get extra tickets so you can fly even more. So it's exactly the reverse of what ought to be the case. I think the first step is individual awareness, and we can all do this by going onto websites. If you put CO2 emission calculator onto Google, quite a number will come up and you can actually work it out in 5 minutes. So it's something anyone can do. But as long as it's private, people won't do anything about it. The only thing that makes a difference is when this information is public. Our reputations are at stake. If all of us on our name tags had had a figure representing our carbon dioxide emissions, mine would have said 9. I don't know what yours would have said. Some people's, local people who just walked there, it might be 0.5 ton a year. There are other people there who whiz around the world. They have 3 or 4 homes. I've spoken to several people who say, oh, I live in England and Morocco and New York and stuff. Theirs might be 100 or 200. This would be a cause for shame. The higher it is, the worse. the lower it is, the better. Poor people and people who just stay at home and don't travel would come out at the top of the league. This would be a reversal of the normal status system. The contribution to the health of the planet would be greatest from those who are poorest and who travel least and who use least energy. The damage would be worst by those who travel most.
That's Rupert Sheldrake.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.